No. Yeah. I know what he's getting you. I'll tell you later.
No, I don't.
So I love Christmas. I love the cheesy side of Christmas. The baubles and the tinsel and that kind of stuff. The commercial side. But I love, in particular, the sacred side of Christmas. I love the nativity account with Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus and the shepherds. I love all of it. I love all of it. But did you know, a lot of people think, and you may think this too, that the first time Jesus appears in the Bible is in the Gospels, in the Nativity story. So the truth is, I think, is that Jesus appears before that. Several times throughout the New Old Testament. Have any of you read much of the Bible before? Some of you? Any of you? Okay, I'll give you a little lesson today.
Little lesson. Write it down.
So throughout the New Old Testament, there's glimpses, rumors, whispers of Jesus in the Old Testament. Like a Where's Wally book. You know, remember Where's Wally? You spend ages studying the pages and, oh, there he is, right in the top corner, kind of half hidden. It's a bit like that. It's like a Where's Jesus through the Old Testament. If you read it carefully, you see. I'll give you an example. There's a book in the Bible. There's 66 books in the Bible, by the way. And the third book is called Leviticus. That book that everyone loves, their favorite book. It's amazing. It talks about mold and mildew and skin disease and stuff like that. So have anybody heard the name Leviticus before? Leviticus? Yeah, okay. Have you? Do you learn to study it at school? Do you? That's amazing. So what school do you go to? So Leviticus is like a handbook, if you like. It's like a job description of what the Levite priest should do. The Levites were priests thousands of years ago for Israel, during the time of Moses and beyond, from the tribe of Levi, which is why they're called Levites. And they were kind of like a go-between between humankind and God for the people of Israel. And so there's loads and loads of things that the Levite priests had to remember. So thankfully, it's all written down in the book of Leviticus in the Bible. Is that interesting? Or it's not really interesting, is it? It's a bit boring, isn't it? It's going to get more interesting. It's going to get more interesting. Let me read to you a clip from Leviticus. This is chapter 13, okay? Regulations against defiling skin diseases. I know. So nowadays, skin disease isn't really a problem. If you get a rash, you go to the chemist and you get yourself a cream, don't you? But back in the day, in ancient times, living in the wilderness, it was a bit of a problem. So this is what would happen. So if someone presented himself to a Levite priest and said, oh, I think I've got skin disease, he would look through the scroll of Leviticus and find a bit about skin disease. Now, this is what it says. Can you read that? Follow along. You'll love it. Try not to fall asleep. It says, a man who has lost his hair and is bald is clean. It's good news, isn't it? If he has lost his hair from the front of his scalp, oh, man. And has a bald forehead, he is clean. Praise the Lord. But if he has a reddish white sore on his bald head or forehead, it is a defiling skin disease breaking out on his head or forehead. The priest is to examine him. And if the swollen sore on his head or forehead is reddish white like a defiling skin disease, the man is diseased and is unclean. The priest shall announce him unclean because of the sore on his head. Anyone with such a defiling disease, listen to this now, must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the skin, the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside their camp. That's harsh, isn't it? So let me put this, make it more graphic for you, bring it to life. Can I tell you a story this morning? You ready for a little Christmas story? Yeah, this is a Christmas message. Thank you. Right, once, many hundreds of years ago, if not thousands of years ago, in the nation of Israel, in the wilderness in the nation of Israel, in the wilderness of Sinai, there lived a couple. And here they are now, just coming out. Eventually, here they come. Yes, and they, this is Dave and Sharon. Okay, Is there any Sharons here, by the way? Oh, there is. Okay, let's change your name. Dave and Edna.
Probably an Edna as well.
Is there an Edna here? Okay, good, that's a relief. So Dave and Edna, and they loved each other very, very much. They had four children who they adored. Now, Dave was a farmer. That's how he earned his money. So every day, Dave would go out to the field. No, that's your own house, Dave, that you're digging up there, mate. The field. What have you done here? Yeah, the fields are out there, bruv. So yeah, you go out there. Every day he goes out, he gives his wife a kiss. The years have been kind, Edna, the years have been kind. And he goes off digging, whatever they do with whatever I'm doing there, digging and stuff. And one day, Dave notices on his hands that he'd cut himself, but he hadn't felt anything. There's blood all around his fingers, and he thinks, how did that get there? I didn't feel anything. So he's a bit perplexed, and he wraps a bandage around his hands to protect them, and he carries on working. And he comes home and he goes back to work and so, no, it's all right, stay there. And then about a week later, he looks down at his feet and notices that his feet are all cut up and he's got toenails missing and through the hard clods of earth have been ripping up his flesh and he didn't realize because it didn't hurt. And he's beginning to think, uh-oh. So one evening, Dave comes home from work, a bit worried. Look a bit too cheerful there, Dave. And he has a shower. And he notices, as he's scrubbing his body, he has whitish red sores on his arms, on his torso, and on his head. And he's getting quite worried. And being a good, God-fearing man, Dave knows the only thing he has to do, the one thing he has to do, is present himself to the priest, which is me. So he turns up at the tabernacle, explains the situation. The priest examines him. And it's like, wow, man, yeah, that is nasty, bruv. What's, oh, all right. Don't milk it, Dave. So it's, and it's, he says, what do I do? This is really weird. He says, one minute, Dave, stand there a minute. Don't get too close. And he has a look, like Leviticus 14. So he has a look at, he has a look at Leviticus 13. Sorry, he says, anyone? He must write, okay, tear your clothes. So he tears his clothes. Let your hair be unkempt. You're already there. And he says, and then cover the lower part of your face. And then say, unclean, unclean.
Unclean.
So, there you go. So that way he doesn't make himself contagious to others, see. And then he says, oh, Dave, you have to leave the camp. You have to leave your family, your kids, Edna, everyone, your friends, your family, your livelihood, and live out in the wilderness. You have to go. Off you go. Now. Yes, please, Dave, if you don't mind. Yeah. You got right now. What a shame, eh? Eh? And he lives in the wilderness, miles away from the community, foraging on berries and what he thinks is berries, but often it's droppings, and it's coney badgers and anything he can get his little hands on. And there he lives a miserable existence for months and months. That's really terrible, isn't it? Did I tell you this is a Christmas story? Yeah, it's a Christmas story. It does get better. In a way, are you right, Edna?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. So Edna is beside herself. She's devastated. I mean, she's really devastated. But not that devastated. I mean, she looks after her kids and she feeds them. What's she got? She hasn't got money coming in. She's missing Dave. She kisses his photo every day, even though they haven't vented the camera yet. And she's really upset. And what's she going to do? She's desperate and hungry. Oh, it's just an awful situation. However, several months pass by, and Dave, after foraging for droppings and berries and eating wild badgers, one day he notices on his hands that his bandage just falls off, and he realizes, actually, his hands are getting better. They're not getting worse, as he thought they would. They're getting better. And he looks at his feet and realizes the cuts and bruises that he had are actually improving. And the skin and the red, white marks on his head and on his body, they're not there anymore. Miraculously, he's actually getting better and not getting worse. And so Dave quickly waves down, jumping up and down, Dave, trying to get someone's attention. And he notices one day an old man walking into the community, a commerce guy selling stuff. And he says to the guy, please, I think I'm healed. He said, could you tell the Levite priest to come and see me, according to Leviticus, see? And so word gets to the Levite priest, that's me. And he thinks, oh, really? Dave's getting better.
I did not see that coming. He said, I thought his days were numbered. So what do I do? So he gets the scroll of Leviticus and he's looking through and he gets to chapter 14. And he looks, okay, and he's looking because he said, oh, okay, thank you.
And this is what he reads. The Lord said to Moses, these are the regulations for any diseased person at the time of their ceremonial cleansing, when they are brought to the priest. The priest is to go outside the camp and examine them. If they have been healed of their defiling skin disease, now listen, this is where it gets really weird, okay? If he's been healed of his disease, the priest shall order that two live clean birds and some cedar wood, some scarlet yarn and hyssop be brought for the person to be cleansed. Then the priest shall order that one of the birds be killed over fresh water in a clay pot. He is then to take the live bird and dip it, together with the cedar wood, the scarlet yarn, and the hyssop, into the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. Are you following? Are you following? Seven times he shall sprinkle the one to be cleansed of the defiling disease, and then pronounce them clean. And after that, he is to release the live bird into the open field. So the priest thinks, man, that is crazy. But it's what the word says. It's what Moses says. Edna, could you do me a little favor? Could you run the back there in your little house? Could you fill it with water to about there? Is that okay? Try not to be too upset. So he thinks. Right. Okay. So he gets everything together. He gets two live birds. Look at the wall. That's nice. Look at the wall. This one and this one. Look at the wall. There you go. Do you like my pigeon impression? Look at the wall. He gets some scarlet yarn. And he checks through his wardrobes and everything, and I bet you can see my bald patch up there, can you? That's really bad. And he got a block of wood, cedar wood, and some hyssop. And he said, right, okay, I do not understand what's going on, but okay, this is what the text says. And he's waiting patiently for Edna to come back. I don't know where Edna's gone, but hopefully she's filling up the clay pot. And then the priest goes looking in the wilderness for days for Dave. And he's, because his wilderness is pretty large, and he's looking around everywhere, calling out his name, Dave, excuse me, have you seen a really scruffy guy with hair and covered his head unclean? Thank you, Edna. Thank you. And finally he sees Dave, and I said, Dave, come here. And Dave is overjoyed, because he sees the... You're in remarkably good strength, considering you've been eating... What you've been eating.
You're overjoyed.
And the priest says, lovely to see you, Dave. You're looking all right. He examines you. He says, yeah, let's have a, okay, that's not good. Okay, so this is what the priest does. Ready? According to Leviticus. He takes the first live bird. He squeezes the, I'm so sorry, guys. It's a toy bird. Squeezes the blood into the pot. All in there, so it's full of blood, okay? Then he takes the cedar wood, and he pops it in the pot. He takes the red yarn, and he pops it in the pot as well, which is full of the blood of the bird. And then, where are you? You're not home yet, Dave. You're still in the wilderness. Eh? Oh, I see. Don't overthink it, Dave. Dave, it's fine. You stand there. So then what he does next, he gets the, you're still in the wilderness. You're not past yet, mate. Stand there. Right. Can everybody say, turn around?
It's right.
So then he gets the hyssop, according to Leviticus, dips it in the warm blood of the first bird. And then you can face me, please, Dave, that'd be, and he sprinkles him seven times. One, look at me, please. Look at me. Two. Is this working? I can't tell. Is it working? I forgot, I've lost count. What's that? One.
Oh, at least.
Just joking. Seven. Is that okay? One for luck. Right. So. And then he takes the second live bird, which is thinking, oh my days. He's thinking, what's going to happen? My cousin Neville's dead. What's going to happen to me? Look at the wall. Look at the wall. And then he releases it into the wild. Ka-ka! And off it, he dips it in the blood first, and then he sends it off in the wild. And then he says this. He says, Brett, are you all right? He said, you look emotional. He said, yeah. And he said, Brother Dave, I pronounce you clean. Now go to the community and offer your thanks to God. And he goes running home. And he sees Edna, who's beside herself with joy. And Dave picks her up and spins her around. He gives her a kiss. He gives her a kiss on the lips because been a long time. It's been a long time. So yeah, that's true. Yeah, 30 years of marriage. And then after that, Dave presents a Thanksgiving offering at the tabernacle to say, thank you, God, for healing me. I was lost, I was broken, I was dying, but somehow you healed me and I'm back in the family. See? And they live happily ever after. Now, thank you. See, when I say happily, I mean they're like every other couple. Do you know what I mean? I mean, sometimes she thinks he stays out too late and he smells of alcohol too much. He doesn't pay enough attention to the kids. He says she moans too much and gets on his back. But other than that, they're fairly happily married. So, I mean, it's like any other couple, passive aggression, and they live happily ever after. So a round of applause for Dave and Edna. There you go, thank you. Round of applause. Now, don't forget your dignity, you left it behind when... So, if there's glimpses and rumours and whispers of Jesus in the Old Testament, put your hand up or shout out where you think you spotted Jesus in that little story. Yes, sir. Where do you think? Anybody? Yes, miss. Very good, very good. Anyone else? Yeah, definitely, that's true. Yes, miss? When Dave got healed. Is that what he said? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. He could be there. Yes, miss?
When Dave runs to Edna.
Yeah, the joy of reconciliation. True, there's Jesus there. Yes, miss?
When he stayed alive for so long in the wilderness.
When he stayed alive in the wilderness for so long. Yeah, could be the strength of Jesus helping him. One more. Go on, two more there. Yes, miss? Aha, the blood of like Jesus' blood. Very good. Yes, miss? Oh, sorry. Second.
When he was praising God.
Praising God. Exactly that. Well done. All very good answers. Hello, Ian and Chu. Where have you been? Did you see a couple outside? Did you? Yeah, that's good. So I'll explain it to you. Can I have the live bird back, by the way? Is that okay? Thank you. So let me explain. So to the priest, this would have meant nothing to him. Okay? He just did it this is thousands of years before Jesus. So this is what he did. So the dead bird, the bird that was killed, represents the death of Jesus. Okay? And then the blood was poured out, wasn't it? Which is this. This represents the blood of Jesus, as someone said a moment ago. And this block of wood, the cedar wood, actually represents the cross of Jesus. So you've got a dead sacrifice. You've got the sacrifice which is killed, the blood and the cross all placed into the pot which represents the tomb of Jesus. And so the second live bird represents the what's called the resurrection, which means the coming back to life of Jesus. Yeah? Dipped in the blood. And the Bible says when Jesus went to heaven, when he ascended, he took before him the sacrifice to the Father. So the bird carrying the blood of the sacrifice was sent heavenward, just as Jesus ascended. So all of this, if you like, is the complete work of Jesus, his death, his coming alive, and his ascension. And this sprinkling, can I sprinkle you one more time? Can I? Thank you. No, it's too late. Seven times he had to do it. Which represents, in the Bible, seven is the number of wholeness and completion. So the sprinkling of the blood upon Dave at this point by the priest represents God's immense kindness and love and forgiveness for all humankind. So this is the gospel, if you like, in a nutshell, buried deep, deep in Leviticus, hundreds of years before Jesus was born. There's a glimpse of hope. There's a whisper of Jesus. See, that's why, Christmas message, here we come. That is why Christmas is such a beautiful time of year. Because the very, very, very first Christmas. See, all these random objects and these random things in Old Testament suddenly became, in Bethlehem, in a manger, became a walking, talking, living, breathing, crowd-feeding, disease-healing, demon-crushing, water-walking reality in Jesus. It's like the curtain was pulled back in Bethlehem. And you saw Jesus in the flesh. In the flesh. No more of these things. Finally, the Savior had come. The Savior of the world. It's incredible. Did you know that's why? Sorry, little man. I'll speak to you in a second, okay? That is why the angels, when he appeared to the shepherds on that evening, what did they say? They appeared and the night sky illuminated like it was daytime. And they said, behold, we have news of great, what? Joy. Joy. Because it's no longer this. The Savior is come. Great joy. We lit the joy candle this morning. The Savior is here. No more waiting. No more anticipating. No more glimpses. He's really, really here. Did you know in the Bible there's lots and lots of names for Jesus and roles in the Bible? Do anybody know any of these little names? There's like Wonderful Counselor. Can anybody think of any other names for Jesus? Malcolm, you'll know a few, I expect. Georgie, come on. Who's your dad here? Your mum and dad here, Georgie? Who's your mum and dad? Are they here?
My mum is over there, and I'm
shaming her. No, you're not embarrassing her. Stand up and take a bow, because your boy is amazing. Your boy is amazing, honestly. Savior of the world, Prince of Peace, the bright morning star, loads of different names and roles. But in the New Testament, Jesus is called the Great High Priest. In Hebrews, he's called the Great High Priest. Because he is the one, which is a million times better than the Levite priest. A million times. Because he's the one who finds us in our wilderness. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past that you may be embarrassed of or ashamed of. Jesus finds us in our wilderness as the priest. And he says, God loves you. He loves you. And you have more value and worth in God's eyes than you could ever imagine. See? And if you trust in that priest, he sprinkles you by faith with his blood. And he says, child, I pronounce you clean. Now come into the family of God and give thanks to God. See, that's what Christmas is about. That's why it is great joy. So this Christmas, celebrate with great joy. Because the Savior is come. Because the great high priest is on his way.